It is 5 minutes to midnight in Egypt. A little Egyptian boy is sitting by his father's side. A look of apprehension is in his countenance. Daddy, he says, do you know that Hebrew prophet Moses? He has been causing trouble in the land, but you know how there's been 9 plagues in the land, and you know how the Hebrews have spoken about these mighty plagues, and God, the God of the Hebrews, has displayed his power in the midst. Daddy, have you heard about the fact that this prophet Moses has said that there's going to be a death angel is going through the land, and the firstborn of all the Egyptians is going to die? Daddy, it's nearly midnight now, and I'm scared. I'm scared. I'm scared I'm going to die. Daddy, what am I going to do? I'm afraid that the death angel is going to strike me tonight. And that unbelieving father puts his arm around his son. And he says, don't worry, son. These Hebrews are nothing but a bunch of lazy slaves. They want to be free, and this Moses character, he's trying to get them out of their work, and he's saying that they're going to be a slain of the firstborn in the land. But you don't need to worry about that. You know, our army is a great army. Our Pharaoh is a great Pharaoh. There are plenty of weapons, and you can be sure that there's no death angel going to get into our kingdom without the army knowing about. And don't worry, I'm going to lock the doors tonight. There's nobody going to get in, and all is going to be secure, and you can rest assured, son. You can lay your head down on the pillow tonight. All is going to be well. And here is this boy, and he believes his father. Perhaps he's still a little bit uneasy. Perhaps he's just a little bit unsure. But he believes the assurance of his father, and he puts down his head upon the pillow, and his mother kisses him good night. And all is peace in that Egyptian household. But it's 5 minutes to midnight. At the midnight hour, this little boy is going to be ushered out into eternity. He believes the assurance of his father. But you know, he has been told that this Moses, all he says is only a fabrication. But you know, the death angel is coming. In 5 minutes' time, the death angel is going to pass through the land of Egypt in judgment and with the power of God. And here he is, 5 minutes to midnight, and he's sleeping now. But the death angel is on the way. He's under a death sentence of Almighty God. And maybe you're here tonight, and it is 5 minutes to midnight for you. You know, somebody has given you an assurance that what a preacher like me says is only a figment of the imagination. It's the rantings of an old preacher. It's nothing other than the rantings of a Bible thumper. And somehow you've come to the conclusion that the gospel warning and the gospel message is not worth thinking about. That you can ignore that message. That you can pass it over. You've been brought here tonight for some reason, maybe because some friend has brought you along, or because you've come along with a member of the family, and you have no intention of listening to the word of warning tonight. You know, in the days of Jeremiah, there were preachers, and they preached peace, peace, when there was no peace. And maybe they've convinced you that all this talk of judgment, and all this talk of hell, and all this talk of the punishment of God is a figment of the imagination of a gospel preacher. But who knows, but dear friend, it is 5 minutes to midnight for you. The midnight hour is coming on. And whether you take the warnings of the preacher, and whether you listen to the word of God tonight, it is still 5 minutes to midnight. And I want you to be warned tonight. And I want us to come into this Egyptian household and into this land of Egypt 5 minutes before the judgment hour. And I want you to look at this little boy that's here in the bed. And I want you to think, about what is happening here. And there are a number of things in this scene that is 5 minutes to midnight that I want you to see tonight. And the first thing I want you to see is the danger that this young boy is under. He's in terrible danger. You know, the message of God had been given in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12. The Lord said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." And here's this boy, 5 minutes to midnight, and the death angel is coming. He's under a death sentence. And that's the state of all those here tonight who are outside of Christ. You're under a death sentence. There's a death sentence that hangs over your head. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. We're told in Ezekiel 18 and 20, it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that is a sentence upon you, because the Bible makes it very clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none that is excluded from that. You're a sinner in the sight of a holy and a righteous God. And what an awful thing for you to face God's death angel. And this dad here could not stay the hand of the angel of death. And your dad, or your mother, or your friends, or the philosophers that you listen to, cannot stay the hand of the sentence of death that is upon your head. How foolish it was for this young fellow to think that the judgment of God could be thwarted, that the armies could keep back the death angel of God, that the doors shut could in some way put an obstacle in the face of the angel of death. And here he was under the judgment of God. And I want you to look at the commencement and the origin of this judgment, because it was a judgment that had been given at the word of God. If you turn back to Exodus chapter 11, verses 4 and 5, you'll read where this word comes, this death sentence comes at the first, and it says, "And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die." And I want you to see that there's the "thus saith the Lord" there. These are the words of God. This is the judgment that has originated in the high courts of heaven. This is a judgment that has been handed down by the judgment and the justice of Almighty God. And when you think about that, you can get some idea of its certainty. Here's something that's absolutely certain. Here's something that's absolutely sure. God said there's going to be judgment. Now you might say to me, and many people do, they say, "Well, you know, if I had seen something of the judgment of God, I'd believe in it. If I heard a word from God to my own heart, I'd believe in it." But I want you to see something. I want you to see that these Egyptians had seen the judgment of God. They had had a number of plagues already. There was the turning of the water of the Nile into blood. There was a plague of locusts. There was a plague of frogs. There was a plague of lice. And plague after plague after plague had come upon them as the judgment of God. And God was showing these Egyptians his might and his power. And he was demonstrating to them that he was a God of judgment. And still they would not listen. These judgments were against the gods of Egypt. We read in the text here, God that would execute judgment. In verse 12 he says, "This night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." And of course, the Egyptians depended upon their gods. One of their gods was the Nile. The Nile was the source of life for the Egyptians. God smote the Nile and turned it into blood. We think of the plague of frogs, and the goddess Hecht was represented as a frog, with the head of a frog. And some think the plague of flies was actually a plague of beetles, and the beetle was as something was sacred to the Egyptians. Osiris was represented as a bull, and we think of the murrain of the cattle. And all these plagues were against their gods. God was showing and demonstrating his power and his judgment and his might, and still they would not listen. Numbers chapter 33 and verse 4 says, "For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them, upon their gods also the Lord executed judgments." So these judgments were very prominent, and they were very pointed. God was demonstrating his power. And you know, as you look around you, you can see those who've been changed by the power and grace of God. You've seen lives that have been transformed by the mighty power of God. You've seen what God can do in the lives of individuals. And perhaps tonight still you do not listen. Still you do not hear. Still you do not turn to the Lord and seek the grace of God. And you see here that God is speaking. God's word was sure. God demonstrated that. We think of the truth of God's word, the prophecies that have been fulfilled down through the years. And here is the "thus saith the Lord." These promises here are true. But dear friend, the warnings of judgment are also true. Oh, I want you to heed that tonight. Because the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. He's one who has said that he'll by no means clear the guilty. And you need to listen to that tonight. We see the commencement of the judgment. But also I want you to see the conclusiveness of the judgment. Because it was a judgment of death. There's a finality about death. There's a finality about this death sentence that was put upon the Egyptians. And of course, as we said, they were given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. But now comes the sentence of death. The Bible says, "My spirit will not always strive with man." There has to come an end to the opportunities. There has to come an end to the chances that you are given as far as the gospel is concerned. And I wonder tonight where you stand, how far along the line you are. I can't tell that, but neither can you. You know, we're given a very stark picture in Psalm 73 of the condition of many. And it speaks of how God, the psalmist, went into the sanctuary and he tried to understand the wicked. And the Lord gave him a vision of where they stood. And he said, "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction." And let me tell you, the chasm of hell lies just below you tonight. Your feet are in slippery places. You don't know how long you've got. You don't know how many opportunities you've had. And how many you will have in the future. And you don't know that it is 5 minutes to midnight for your soul. It's time you got right with God. It's time you were saved. It's time you sought the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. This is 5 minutes to midnight. And we see the danger that the young boy was in. But then not only do we see the danger that the young boy was in, but I want you to see the blessings, the deliverance the young boy might have heard of. Because notice here, that while the message of God was a message of judgment, that this young boy had opportunity to hear the message of deliverance. There was a way of deliverance. There was a way back. Because we read about the message of the Lamb here. And this is a message that this young boy probably had heard about. God had said to the children of Israel, if you look in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 22, he said, "And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin." And then God said, look at verses 12 and 13, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." So here's the message of hope. A and the message of deliverance that the young boy might have heard. It was about the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for that blood that is shed. The Bible says that without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And when the Israelites took this blood of a lamb and sprinkled it upon the doorposts and on the lintels of their house, when the death angel began to pass through the land of Egypt, when he came across the house where the blood was sprinkled, the death angel passed over and passed by, and there was a deliverance by the blood of the Lamb. Now there is the message of deliverance. It is through the precious blood of the Lamb. Now, I want you to think about this deliverance. It was an unlikely deliverance. You think about this message. Here was the death angel coming. And you wouldn't think about stopping a death angel by shedding the blood of a lamb. How could that stop a death angel? Surely that seemed to be an unlikely thing to do. And here was these people, and they could have said, Lord, what is this about? What is this remedy that you have given to us? It seems so unusual. But you know, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. There are many people who hear the message of the gospel and they see it as unlikely. They say, well, this is not the way that we should come. Surely we need to do something. Surely we need to pay something. Surely we need to enter into something or into some of the ceremonies of the church. And here were these people, and they thought, maybe you're thinking tonight, what is this way of the cross? You know, there was an atheist one time who came into a meeting such as this, and the pastor was preaching, and he interrupted the service, and he said, how can blood cleanse? And for a moment the preacher was silent, and he said to the man, how does water quench your thirst? And the man says, well, I don't really know. And the preacher says, well, I don't really know how blood cleanses, but I know that it does, and there are many here who can testify to the efficacy of the precious blood of Christ. And there are multitudes here, there are many here in this meeting, and they can tell you, they can testify that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. This was an unlikely remedy, but it also was a unique remedy. Because it says, speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. So it was to be one lamb. It was to be a single lamb for each household. Every household was delivered by a single lamb. And we proclaim one Lamb, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is the one who wards off the death angel. This is the one who is able to bring life. And he is the only one. He is the only one. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you're going to be saved tonight, you need to come by the way of the cross. This is an age of postmodernism, and everybody is saying, well, there are different ways to God, and there's different paths that we can come. And even in the Christian church today, there are those that are saying, well, we can come different ways, and every way is valid. No, there's only one way, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're proclaiming tonight. Have you ever come to the Savior? Have you ever come to the foot of the cross? Are you washed in this precious blood of the Lamb? It's an unusual way. It's a unique way. There is a single lamb. But not only is it a single lamb, it has to be a suitable lamb. This had to be a lamb without blemish and without spot. It had to be the right characteristics. And the Lord Jesus had to have the right characteristics to be my Savior. He is the God-man. He is God and man in two distinct natures, yet one person forever. And thank God tonight for our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. This is the suitable Lamb. Don't go to your religion. Don't go to your works or anything else. Come to the suitable Lamb. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. He is a suitable Lamb. He's also a sacrificed Lamb. The blood had to be sprinkled before it was any good. And the blood had to be shed. And the Lamb had to die as a substitute there. And we thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the center cross of Calvary in the room instead of sinners. We think of the dying, bleeding form of our blessed Redeemer there on the cross of Calvary. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me that brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love or sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Think of that wonderful picture in Isaiah 53. The man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him smitten, afflicted of God. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He is the sacrificed Lamb. He laid down his life that we may have eternal life. Oh, what a wonderful blessing it is to trust in such a loving Savior. Not only is he a sacrificed Lamb, but he is a sprinkled Lamb. The blood of the Lamb had to be sprinkled on the doorposts and on the lintels of the house. They actually had to take the blood and apply it. And you know what's good to know about the blood of Christ? It's good to know that that blood cleanses from all sin. It's good to know that there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. But oh, has the blood been sprinkled upon your heart? Are you saved tonight? It would no good if they took the blood and sprinkled it in somebody else's house. The death angel would have passed over that house, but not over theirs. They might have had it sprinkled upon their father's house, or in their mother's house, or in their friend's house. But all that had to be sprinkled on their house. Oh, dear friend, is the blood applied? Is the blood sprinkled tonight? Is it there on that place? And as God looks upon you, he sees that blessed covering of blood. Is your heart atoned for and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? We see here the deliverance the young man might have heard of. But not only do we see the danger that the young man was in and the deliverance he might have heard of, but I want you to see the division that the young man saw. Because there was a dramatic division that night in the land of Egypt. Look at verses 29 and 30. It says, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. There was death throughout the land of Egypt. There was despair throughout the land of Egypt. There was darkness throughout the land of Egypt. But in verse 23, we have a great contrast. Look at what happened to the children of Israel. It says, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. So here's the division. What was the difference at the midnight hour when the death angel came? What was it that made the vital division amongst the people there in that land? They lived in the same land. They ate the same kind of food. They had the same climate. They labored almost in the same circumstances. What made the difference? It is the blood. The blood that had been shed. You know, there are many divisions amongst the people of this day and generation. We can think about black and white. We can think about Roman Catholic and Protestant. We can think about the rich and the poor, about those in the east and those in the west, and those in the cold climates and those in the warm climates. But there's only one difference that will make a real difference at the end of the day. And that is whether you're washed in the precious blood. Because there's coming a day of judgment. There's coming a day when you will stand before God. When there will be a division amongst the multitudes of men. And to some God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. To others God will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Some will be saved, others will be lost. Some will ascend to be with God for all eternity, and some will go into the caverns of the damned to be damned for all of eternity itself. Dear friend, what is the difference? The difference is whether you're washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Are you? John Wesley was returning home from a service one night, and a thief jumped out and robbed him of all that he had. And as the bandit was leaving, John Wesley called out to him. He said, stop, I've something more to give you. And the thief was very surprised and taken aback, and he paused, taken aback. And John Wesley said to him, you know, you regret this sort of life that you're entering into. And he says, if you ever do regret it, he says, I've something for you to remember. And he said, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. And the thief hurried away, and Wesley prayed that his words would have fruit. And years later, Wesley was greeting people after a Sunday service, and he was approached by a stranger. And what a surprise to learn that the stranger was none other than the man who had robbed him many years before. Now he was a successful businessman. And he said to the preacher, he said, I owe it all to you. And Wesley said, no, my friend, you don't owe it to me, but to the precious blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. And you know, there are many here tonight, and we owe it all to the precious blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. We're only sinners. All of us are sinners by nature and by practice. But some are sinners saved by grace, and some are sinners that have never been saved. Which are you tonight? It is 1 minute to midnight. We now enter into an Israelite home. And the little boy is there, and he's heard about the death angel. And he says to his father, Daddy, I hear that Moses has said that all, you know, the firstborn in the land of Egypt are going to be slain, except those that are under the blood. Have you applied the blood to the doorposts and the lintels? Have you made sure that the blood is applied? And the Hebrew father puts his arm around his boy and he says, yes, we've done what God has told us to do. We've obeyed the word of God. And that little boy, that Israelite boy, that Jewish boy goes to bed reassured that he's under the blood. He's washed in the blood, covered in the blood, obtains triumph through the blood. But we go into the Egyptian household, and here's this little boy lying asleep on the bed. He's been reassured by his father, He thinks that all is well. But no matter what he thinks, and no matter about the armies of Egypt, the death angel passes by, and that little boy is ushered out into eternity. It's midnight now. If this was midnight for you, where would you stand? You need to be under the blood. And I'm glad tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses, still washes, still is able to take the deep-dyed stain of sin away. And no matter how deep in sin you have been, or no matter how you've tried to walk the clean side of the dirty road, dear friend, there's cleansing at the feet of the Savior. Where is your soul at the midnight hour when the death angel comes? How will it be with you? Come to Christ tonight and be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. And maybe God has spoken to your heart tonight. Where would you be at the midnight hour? If tonight is your midnight, how do you stand? Where will you be in eternity? Isn't it about time you got right with God? Isn't it about time you trusted the Savior? Isn't it about time you sought the Lord Jesus Christ for His cleansing? Don't presume. Don't presume in another minute. But you come to the feet of the Savior tonight. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, will you pray tonight and ask the Lord to save your soul? And He will. He will. He'll save you. Let's just bow in prayer now. And if God has been speaking to your heart, you ask the Lord to cleanse your soul. And then come and speak to us at the end of the meeting. We'd love to speak to you. Maybe you don't understand. Maybe you'd like help. Come and speak to us. We want to point you to the Savior.